with Aaron Dowd.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Welcome on into your Friday version of The Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, KADS, the sports animal. Jared Atha back in studio. We have Aaron Cowk on the road again. He is heading down to Childress, Texas, to the tournament down there, following the Big Elks in the Elkette basketball squads. We'll get a full update from him coming up. And, of course, it is a Garrison Financial Friday. And Scotty G is with us in studio, which, quite frankly, until he rolled on in here, I totally forgot. Because it's been one of those weeks, Scott. It's been one of those weeks where all these basketball tournaments are happening and our minds are just going crazy and making sure we get them all covered and everything. But I'm glad you're here. Hey. Because Aaron's on the road. I think he's still on the road. He was really worried that he was going to run out of gas. He forgot to fill up the tank. Did you make it, Aaron? Are you?
No. It is. I mean, I'm on the way. Not there yet. It's white knuckle time.
So you're the episode of Seinfeld where you just the light is on.
Exactly. With 17 miles on the sign, the light came on.
So you got 17 miles to go.
It doesn't tell you how many miles you have to empty?
No.
What kind of an old, antiquated car are you in?
Oh, I'm sure it does. I just don't know how to do it. So.
He's in one of the company cars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the FJ. I'm sure it tells you. I have no idea how to do it.
All right. So, well, I was gonna get on you for not filling up last night, but I guess you showed up this morning and it was...
Well...
Who do we need to throw under the bus?
I planned on stopping at Wellington, and I passed the first gas station thinking that there was another one a little bit further out, a little bit further south, and it wasn't. So at that point, you know, you make the decision. You either turn around or you man up and see how far it'll go. And here we are. And so if it's a random cuss word comes out of my mouth, you'll know that I didn't make it.
Put on those walking shoes.
I bet there's, speaking of cuss words, I bet there was a whole bunch of them at the Garrison House last night.
Oh,
as
my
the
gosh.
Putrid New England Patriots were putting up 21 on that vaunted Steeler defense.
Oh, my gosh. What? Now, wait a minute now. All 21 were not on the Steeler defense.
We threw two or three touchdown passes.
Yeah, but they got a pick. They got a pick that they returned right down there close. I mean, I tell you what. How in the world the Chicago Bears drafted Mitch Trubisky in the first round? I have no idea. That guy is abysmal.
Yeah, I got to listen to the last maybe 5 or 6 minutes driving back last night.
The boos were just good. Yeah, the boos were just unbelievable. I mean, every time he ran out onto the field, I was just waiting for him to just walk into the tunnel crying.
I don't understand why they don't play Mason Rudolph then.
He can't be worse. He can't be.
Well, he's actually won games.
Well, they were cheering for him. The fans were chanting Rudolph.
Let's go Mason. Well, you didn't think that was going to happen.
No, I never would have dreamed that would happen.
Pray for Mason Rudolph to enter the game. It probably wasn't on anybody's beat go-kart.
Yeah, it's bad in Pittsburgh. And once again, we're going to play well enough to not be able to draft a quarterback that's worth a darn. So here we go again.
Well, and quite honestly, Belichick is clearly done, right? Because if Belichick is coming back to the Patriots, there's no way in the world he'd have won that game last night.
No, he would be cheating to lose right now.
Correct. Yeah, so that anybody that's wondering about Belichick's status and, you know, if he's going to be back with the Patriots, last night told you the answer. The answer is no.
Yeah.
He's not coming back.
He wants to get as many wins as he can get, and he's getting out of Dodge.
Yeah, he's too smart.
So at 7-6, is Pittsburgh in the hunt?
Oh, yeah.
Still in the hunt.
They're still in the hunt because they've won every game in their division.
Yeah, that's true.
So, if, yeah, but, yeah, I don't know.
But do you want to be? Going to play with, just good enough
with Mitch,
to get a...
Not with Uncle Mitch.
Yeah, no.
Leading the way.
So what's it going to fit? What is it just, is that as simple as that? You got to get a better quarterback or?
They can't block anybody.
They can't
That's
block
a big
anybody.
Problem.
That it is a huge problem. They can't block anybody. We do have to get a, we have to revamp the entire offensive line. It's bad, but.
Them and the Jets are super similar to me. You know, Rodgers got hurt. Now the Jets don't have a quarterback and they have a really good defense. They can't block anybody. Steelers are very similar to the Jets, I think, in that way. The only difference is that they didn't, you know, they lost their quarterback too later on in the season.
Please.
It wasn't a Hall of Famer.
Comparing us to the Jets. Oh, my gosh. I hope that doesn't turn into a 20-year.
I just mean right now. I don't think the Steelers could become the Jets.
Could be worse. We could be trying to find a VCR player to play our Super Bowl championship video.
I have them in DVDs. I have them in DVDs.
You're not as close as you think, there, big guy. 2008 is a long damn time ago.
My son was born, so it couldn't have been that long ago.
I mean, Sam Bradford was quarterback at OU. That's how long ago that was.
Yeah, that was a long time.
I guess it's better Sam than Cale Gundy.
Well, yeah.
Hey, speaking of quarterback, and what did you guys think about what BV had to say about Gabriel?
Oh,
I only heard what he said about Stutzman. What did he say about Gabriel?
Oh, man. I mean, if this doesn't paint you the picture that's up there, he said Dylan's a great player. We're really glad that we had him. And he knows that he's more than welcome to come back and compete.
Interesting.
Yeah, he also mentioned that I guess, I don't know if they had talked about it or if it was Brent's, you know, kind of thoughts about it. But he said that he just kind of assumed that the NFL was the next stop for him after this current season.
Yeah. Yeah. He,
left him with the possibility of him playing Arizona. In the poll kit. He said those conversations are still ongoing. I mean, I would be shocked if that happens, right?
Well,
there's no way.
I think what he said, when he said he's welcome to come back and compete, I think that lets you know they feel more than confident in who the starting quarterback is going to be next year, regardless of who's on campus, and it ain't going to be Dylan Gabriel.
I think that's right. I think the word that tells you that is compete.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the way that he said it, he's more than welcome to come back and compete.
Has there ever been somebody that says they're going to the portal that then went and played the bowl game? I don't think that's ever happened. Not somebody of name, somebody, you know. Well, it'd be unprecedented, wouldn't it, if he said, hey, I'm going to the portal, but I'm going to give you one more game.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you're officially in the portal, I don't think you can. Now, the one thing about that is, we all knew Caleb Williams was going to the portal, but he wasn't actually in the portal until after that Alamo Bowl 2 years ago.
Correct.
That's true.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So I guess
I don't know if Dylan, Venables would have said that if you couldn't.
Well, is Dylan, is his name actually in the portal, or is it just, hey, he's going to be?
He declared it, but he hasn't officially filed it.
Maybe that's it, too. I don't know.
I don't know. And the other thing, and I mentioned the Stutzman side of things, where that's what I did hear, or a clip I saw was Venables saying, you know, we're going to let – that's on his time when he wants to make that official announcement. So he wasn't committing to Stutzman actually declaring for the NFL, which you haven't seen. There's always been these reports, but you haven't seen officially anything from him. And so I wonder if he's trying to persuade him maybe not to go. I don't know.
Do you think that Stutzman is – going to be that high up on a draft pick board yet?
There's he's grading out from what I saw. He could
first or second round,
low first, high second. That's money right there.
You can't.
And I don't blame him. I don't blame him at all. Yeah. Go get that bag. I can't remember
who said it. It's kind of like if you can be a first round draft pick, it's kind of like, I can't remember what announcer said it, but he said that when when Barry Sanders' son took the scholarship to Stanford instead of Oklahoma State first, remember? And he said, boys, if you can get a scholarship to Stanford, you don't turn it down.
Yeah.
And it's kind of...
Yeah, that's right.
It's like when...
First, if you can, if you think you're going to be a first-round draft pick, you don't play another year of college football.
Right.
Well, it's... if you get that card, I mean, it's one thing that you think it, but when you get that card that says first or second, that's a, I mean, what can he do to improve his stock necessarily? He can't get any bigger. He can't get any faster. You know, he's just kind of is what he is, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
He's the player he's going to be. He can get more injured. You know, he comes back, even if he doesn't get a significant injury, if he comes back and has those stingers all season like he had last year, there's going to be NFL teams that look at that and go, how's he going to hold up in three NFL seasons?
I think the talent, though, outweighs that risk.
That's Rodney Anderson.
Yeah.
If he wishes he'd have left after the Georgia game.
Perfect.
Instead of coming back and getting hurt in the second game of the season.
Yeah.
UCLA.
Yeah. Yep. Great example.
Right. Right. Okay, what else was on my mind?
Who has declared from Oklahoma and Oklahoma State? Do we know have any of the Oklahoma State players declared for the portal?
Well, yet? That was the one that was going to come. Gundy's son declared.
Gundy's son declared, yeah. You know who I'm talking about.
No.
I want to know what that running back's going to do next year.
I don't know.
Hey, Ohio State, Oklahoma.
Find the money. Follow the money.
Yeah. A kid comes out and runs a ball like that, everybody's going to be offering. So we'll see what happens. And maybe Oklahoma State can find that money. I don't know.
I'd seen – it wasn't anything official, but it was kind of a report. I don't know how homerish it was, but that he was actually leaning towards staying, which would – I mean, yeah, you'd think that would have to come with some money.
If you're telling me that Dylan Gabriel is worth $1.2 to $1.75 million, which is basically what Matt Rhule said, I got to say that he is as well.
Okay, how much of that do you really think is right?
Well, I think it's obviously quarterbacks throughout the nation, Nebraska's shopping. I mean, that's definitely what it was. Nebraska's shopping, and not only are we shopping, we've got money.
Yeah.
Is what that was. That's a good question. I don't know. How real is that?
I just have such a hard time believing that. I mean, he's essentially saying any Power 5 starter or, what, top 30 Power 5 starting quarterback is making somewhere between a million and two million. I just don't believe that's true.
Yeah, I doubt the quarterback at Vanderbilt's getting that kind of money.
No.
I mean, but where does it stop?
Well, and I doubt – I can't imagine that oh, gosh, I'm terrible at names. Last year, Oklahoma State's quarterback last year that went to Mississippi State and sat on the bench. Surely he didn't get $1 million.
Well, okay, how much do you think Dylan Gabriel got paid this year at Oklahoma?
That's a good question.
I would be shocked if he got $1 million, right?
Well, and here's my thing. Why do we not know that? How is that not knowledge, public knowledge?
It's great. That's.
I mean, that's going to be on tax returns. That's going to be on, and somebody paid it. How do we not know this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's some of the stuff that is coming down the pike, as far as contracts and that kind of thing. It's going to have to be there at some point.
Yeah.
All right. What did you think about the playoffs, Scotty G?
What do I think about the playoffs? I think they're going to be great. I think that the most overlooked elephant in the room, and I'm not hinting at Alabama, guys. Washington looked fantastic in that win over Oregon.
Hey, Aaron, go ahead and tell him who picked Washington to beat Oregon.
We're still running
the promo from the 2019 Super Bowl about the Patriots beating the Rams and Edelman being the MVP. So you'll be able to hear who Jared picked in the Washington-Oregon game.
The point is, I totally agree.
Heaven forbid Michael Penix really win the Heisman on Saturday.
Yeah, that's probably not happening. But I'm with you, Scott. I think the I've always liked Washington.
I think Scott was going to say he didn't think Washington was very good.
I didn't think Washington was very tough defensively. And in that game, they looked extremely tough defensively. I thought Washington was the Pac-12 score 60 points, get in the playoff, score 35 points, and the other team scores 42.
Okay, so here's the crazy stat about Washington that I saw going into that game. Since DeBoer has been there, they are undefeated in however many games. I think it was like 41 games. They are undefeated when their defense gives up less than 40. They're 1-2 if they give up 40 or more. That's nuts to me. Think about how many games that you see teams lose 31-38. 34-38, 35-31, and they haven't lost a single one of them. As long as they keep Texas under 40, history tells you they'll win.
That's a good point. That's interesting.
That's going to be hard to do because right now Texas offense is humming.
Yeah. You know, who's the guy that's sitting around and goes, well, yeah, this is their record, but how many have they lost when they've kept somebody under 40 points?
Degenerate gamblers. That's who's doing that.
Yeah, it probably was some sort of gambling deal.
Yeah. So I'm not downgrading Washington at all. I do think that at this point in time, I would say Michigan's going to win it all.
Did Florida State get screwed? Yes.
I like the way that you put it the other day. Not only did they not get the most deserving teams, but they didn't get the best teams either. Mm-hmm. I think that's dead on. I mean, what are you looking for? Because everybody knows that Georgia is one of the top two teams in the country. Still are, you know. And like you said, if we're going to start talking about, well, so and so's hurt and so and so's hurt, well, then, you know, how many times in the past did we see quarterbacks go down going into the championship game, but they still put those teams in? I think that it is disgraceful that they did this the year before the 12-team tournament. I think it's wrong. Do I think that Florida State is one of the top two teams, top three teams? I don't think Florida State's probably one of the top 10 teams right now without him at quarterback. However, not only did they beat everybody on their schedule, they purposefully went out and lined up SEC high-caliber SEC teams, historically high-caliber SEC teams, to try to make their schedule tougher. They did that on purpose. And to say, sorry, guys, you're not going. That's just sad.
Yeah, it's what else do you want them to do?
Exactly.
Right? That's the whole thing. And then, you know, as it goes on, it gets further away from picking who they pick. You start, you know, the Bama faithful are starting to think up of, you know, other reasons and this and that. And so you get to, like, well, Florida State's best win against LSU is Alabama's third best win. Well, I mean, that's so semantics, though. I mean, I just the point of the deal is to win the games. Yes, does their offense look bad? It looks bad. There's no doubt about that. But what about Michigan's offense? Let's look in the middle of the Ohio State game when Zach Zinter went down, their offensive lineman. What has the production been like for Michigan since then?
Yeah, well,
nobody cares because
and Michigan's
it's an offensive
production,
lineman.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's
and
a great
Michigan's
point.
In the Big Ten, and they're going in. The Bleacher Report hit the nail on the head without even realizing they did it. They put out a post the other day that executives at ESPN had told them that Florida State out, Alabama in, saved them like $150 million in ad revenue, eyeballs, revenue stream.
There you
that's
go.
What it is.
Absolutely, that's what it is.
I'm not some sort of conspiracy theorist. I don't mean that the money, but the committee did not have the cojones to keep the SEC out.
Yeah.
And that's just the truth. I don't care what anybody, how you want to argue. And I'm not saying they're wrong, by the way. I mean, when you look at the way that the SEC has dominated since Texas won their last national title in 2005, the SEC has been by far and away the preeminent conference in college football. They've won the major games that they have to win at the end of seasons, and that's why they get the benefit of the doubt. Does anybody not think Georgia or Alabama, if they're not, you know, if they're out, all you'll hear is, well, if they'd have been in, they'd have won that thing. If they'd have been in, they'd have won that thing. So they're always going to get the benefit of the doubt, at least for right now. And with 12, I think it may even be more of that case.
Yeah, well, like Jeremy Robbins just chimed in on the message board, and he says, Scott, if it were OU in Florida State spot, would you still have the same opinion? I absolutely would. I just said what I said. I think Florida State should be in the playoff.
Yeah,
they did what they were supposed to do to get to the playoff.
Yeah, it's not about who it is. It's about what this team did. It's not about the name. It's not about this versus that. It's about they went undefeated. I've been on this bandwagon. I've been on this beating this drum since they won the ACC championship, and I had people tell me they don't look the part. I don't care what they look like.
Doesn't matter.
They went undefeated.
They did their job.
They did what was asked of them. They went undefeated. They're a Power 5 conference team that won the conference. I don't care, and it's a disservice to all those kids, the other kids not named Travis, right?
Hey.
The defense, I think, looks great. It looks like a playoff defense.
How do you know Florida State doesn't go in there and get two picks in the first game and win 14-10?
Yeah.
And they're in the championship.
Right.
And like Skinny said earlier this week, you can't say they don't look the part because everybody said that TCU didn't look the part in the championship game last year. Guess what? They won the first game.
Right. I had to win the first game to get there.
They put the beat down on Michigan in the first game.
Right, yeah.
Well, so I think the defense thing is a great point because I had that stat the other day. Since Jordan Travis went down, they faced 38 drives that weren't like end-of-half drive, you know, where you take a knee and move on. Actual, where the other team had the ball trying to score touchdowns. And they scored, the other team scored one in 38.
Golly.
Once.
Wow. Yeah, and I mean, it's not like Louisville was – I mean, is Louisville a top 10 team? I don't think they're a top 10 team, but they're certainly a top 15 to 18 team. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had a great year.
And it definitely hurt that Louisville lost to Kentucky the week before in a gigantic rivalry game. You know, and it's funny how that narrative works when it works and it doesn't when it doesn't. So – Louisville doesn't get the benefit of the doubt losing a in-state rivalry game. But, you know, Auburn, golly, you know, it's the Iron Bowl.
Yeah, they out in a tough rivalry.
Exactly. So, I don't know. I hate it because, well, for one, there is no criteria. People trying to point into this and that's the criteria to get there. There is no criteria.
Money is a criteria.
11 or 12, well, that too. And there's 11 people. And whatever they think is, it goes. And quite frankly, it's 11 people that I don't really know that I want to put college football's future or the end of the season tournament in those people's hands. But I don't know who else to do it because if you think about old coaches, well, good God, the guy that comes on after us, I don't agree with about anything he says.
That's a good point, too.
You know, those old coaches, I'm serious, but they're so set in their ways and they're so set in their beliefs that it doesn't even matter what happens on the field. I mean, if you want to get away from, like, merit-based and results-based decisions, the last people you need is old coaches, I'm telling you right now.
Well, but, you know, another thing that a great point that I heard earlier this week and that people are kind of pushing to the back burner is – karma is a you-know-what, and 2 years ago, the call was there for a 12-team playoff. The call was there, the demand was there, everybody wanted it, and the ACC did everything in their power to squash it, and they did squash
it. Well, man, and I will give Jim credit. He said this the other day, and he's exactly right, because, you know, we listened to him. As soon as that alliance occurred, it was the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the ACC.
Yep.
And as soon as it happened, he made the point of, well, this is just the Big Ten telling the Pac-12 and the ACC what to do. And guess what? 2 years later, he's at, well, first off, the Big Ten killed the Pac-12. And them telling the ACC what to do kept an ACC undefeated ACC team out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Who wins the Heisman?
Who wins the Heisman? I don't know.
I think it's Daniels. I think his numbers are too good. I don't want it to be him because of the two losses. He didn't play for a conference title.
Three losses.
Didn't play for a conference title, but the numbers kind of trump all of that, right? Just because what we said earlier, I want to look smart, and I picked Penix Jr. I picked him back in September as my guy to watch for the Heisman, and I'm hoping.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I knew he'd get the invite, but they said it right before we went on air. The Bo Nix versus Penix thing, it almost kind of cancels each other out. They kind of have similar numbers. They're in the same conference. They've played each other.
The thing that bothers me about all of it is, if we're going to talk about numbers, what's Marvin Harrison Jr. even doing there?
I said that this week. It's a joke.
I mean,
he's nowhere near the best as far as numbers. He's nowhere near.
He's not even close.
He's like 18th in yardage.
It's crazy.
But here's the deal. If you don't think that people, like not necessarily us, but in this business can affect things, it's Marvelous Marv. Think about that. Think about what Gus Johnson, just one kind of blurting something out, has done for multiple people. You know, Hollywood. He just fired that out there in that Bedlam game, and it stuck.
Yeah.
Marvelous Marv sticks. And then you've got kind of something to work off of there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. But I don't know. I really would love to see, at least when I was a kid, you guys are a little younger than me. You know, I remember when there would be an offensive lineman get invited. I remember lots of defensive players that got invited, and I just don't understand why it just became
the best offensive
player. The best quarterback in the country.
Best quarterback on one of the best teams.
Normally it's the best team.
Yeah. I think I know what it is. I think it's because the people that get to vote, you know, USC, how many votes do USC – do they have attached to this deal, and how many votes do they get to put in there? And I don't know. You know, you look at a guy like Ollie Gordon, should be at the top of the list going into next season. Probably should be there. Probably should be there ahead of Marvin Harrison, and he's not. I mean, how many defensive players do we see? Look at the NFL. If you were starting right now, and you didn't necessarily have to have a quarterback, who would you take in a draft right now? Who would you take above T.J. Watt?
Parsons, maybe.
Maybe. Two defensive players.
Yeah.
I mean.
All right. Hey, boys. I'm cutting out. I'm going inside. I don't have very good service. So I'm going to let y'all go.
All right. Okay.
Have a good call.
Get set up. All right, man.
Hey, real quick, tell us what time and everything, your schedule today.
Yeah, 10:30 this morning. We've got the Big Elks and Vernon Lions. And then immediately following that one, scheduled for 11:45, Elk City Elkettes and the Spearman Lynx Etz. I've never heard of that one. The Lynx Etz. And then if the boys win this morning, they'll play at 3:30 against the Wellington and – oh, I've got it right here. Trying to remember. I was looking at Wellington and Valley, wherever the Valley is. They'll play that game at 3:30. If the boys win, they'll play twice today.
Okay.
Very good.
Last thing. Hey, one more thing. Army, Navy, who you got?
Navy always.
I got America. America wins in that game. America. All right.
Navy always.
All right. Have a good one, Aaron.
All right.
And we'll talk later. All right. Take care.
Great weekend. Bye.
Hey, let's take a break. You want to hang out all hour?
Sure.
Awesome. Because I hate doing this show solo.
I got you, man.
Appreciate it. We'll take a break. It is a Garrison Financial Friday on the Skinny on Sports. much to talk about. We got a lot of high school basketball to talk about. We'll do that coming up next. It is Paragon TV. No, that's happening all day today. I am out of my mind right now, wired. More of the show, whatever we're doing here, coming up next. Keep it right here.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member, FINRA, and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, KADS, the sports animal. Jared Atha in studio. Aaron on the road. He is going to be calling. So he had to leave or had to cut out early to get ready for his broadcast, which is coming up at 10:30. Big Elks and the Elkettes down in Childress, Texas. I was saying yesterday, Scott Garrison, of course, there's a Garrison Financial Friday. He's in studio with us. I was saying yesterday that tournament down there is so odd because there's this potential of, first off, there are a ton of participants in it. And Elk City is carrying the Oklahoma flag. They're the only team from Oklahoma down there. The rest are Texas teams. I believe could be New Mexico, who knows, but there's so many participants, and you just heard him say if the Big Elks win today, they'll play again at 3 o'clock. Two games one day in basketball, that has, you don't see that a lot. He said I can't remember that happening. I think he gave an example of like one time he remembered it. The bracket itself looked like a softball tournament bracket.
And they played two games yesterday, too, didn't they?
They played one apiece yesterday.
Okay.
But then today was the day that they – because the girls is more like a festival.
Okay.
Okay? The boys is more – is bracket play. I'd have to show you that bracket. So, a lot of basketball, and there's even a situation where – the boys and girls could have been playing at the same time. And Aaron would have had to pick which one to go broadcast. He can't be in two places at one time, which is actually a thing that we're kind of worried about come playoff time this year. There's a new kind of a new playoff format, not a format, but structure, I guess is a better word to use, that where you could see one girls team, high school girls team go to one location and one boys team go to another. And play at the same time. And that is our nightmare as broadcasters. Because what are we going to do? We're going to make somebody mad. We're going to make some parents mad because we're not.
You're not going to call me in to do basketball. I can tell you that.
I almost called you at 3 a.m. last night or this morning. Not feeling so hot. And you can probably hear it in my voice. I'm still trying to cough it out. But it's interesting. It's interesting. Yeah. But what Aaron's doing down there is really, really interesting. I'm up in Moreland today, back up in Moreland for day two of the Holiday Classic tournament up there in Moreland. I can't remember how long this tournament's been put on. It's been put on for quite some time, and it's always a really good tournament. Great participants in it. Canute, both girls and boys, got easy wins yesterday. The girls had a feeling they would. They took on a JV team from Enid. Not often does a team, a Class A school take on a Class 6A school, unless your name is Ceiling. They do a lot. But even though it's a JV team, me and Coach really kind of talks like, well, we don't know really anything about them. They're a JV team. There's not like their stats or film on them. They're just a JV team. And it kind of gives you pause, go, well, they're a JV team out of 6A. You know, they could, they got a lot to pick from. They might be good enough to play on a varsity team, maybe on a 4A or 3A level. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But they look God bless them, they look like a JV team.
Okay.
And Canute so had no problem.
It wasn't Michael Jordan that got benched from his high school team.
No. Okay. No, Trojanettes won. I'm going off of memory, 64-12. It was easy win. Everybody played and everybody scored, which I'm like, okay, we're getting a game like that. I want to see every young lady score, and they did. It was cool. It was
that's
fun.
Great.
And the boys, they beat Sayre for a second time in 3 days. They played them on Tuesday night for homecoming, and then they played them yesterday in the opening round of this tournament and easily won 88-30-something. Again, going off memory, I just wrote down who won. I didn't write down scores. But Jackson Beck had 31 points. And during my broadcast, I was saying Jackson Beck, by the way, a junior sharpshooter. When he gets on a roll, just hold your breath when he takes a shot because it's probably going to go in. He had 5 3-pointers, all those in the first half. He got up to 31 points. I started saying during broadcast, I can't remember what his career high is, but I know it might be a little more than here in the 30s, but he's approaching it. And I reached out, and you know how I know when people are listening is when they start texting you, and they were telling me 39 is his career high. So he didn't get it, but he was basically benched in the fourth quarter.
So he scored 39 as a sophomore last year.
Or even a freshman. He was a starter as a freshman. We're a special player. He can shoot. He can shoot. And what I really liked about him, or like about him, I've always said this, is as a freshman, he came out. You know, he had such an advantage because nobody knew about him. And nobody knew he can shoot. And so he'd camp outside. Every time he got the ball, no one would guard him. Because he's not a tall kid, but he can shoot it. So nobody guarded him, and he filled it up from outside. Boom. Well, then the secret came out. So he realized, I got to adjust. So he got really good at dribble drive penetration and floating it up in the lane and getting it to go in. And he's leaned on that more than his three-point shot, I've noticed, late last year and going into this year. But like I said, when he gets in rhythm with his three-point shot, he's lethal.
Beautiful thing to watch.
It's fun to watch.
He didn't get that coordination from his Uncle Joe, I can tell you that.
His dad might even say he didn't get it from me either. But he's a fun kid to watch. And this Canute boys team is a lot of fun. They're a run-and-gun style offensive team that as soon as they get a rebound, that defense that they're going up against better get back because they're constantly looking down court. And more often than not, they're rearing back like a football player, and they're heaving it to their teammate. They tried that a lot last year, but they start 4 sophomores on this team. They started 4 freshmen on this team last year.
Wow.
Okay. Bigger picture, we kind of knew what was going on last year. The vision here, you know, hindsight, you know, slow and steady process here. Well, they tried a lot of that stuff, and they were playing like freshmen.
Yeah.
This year, it's working.
They're clicking.
It's clicking to the tune of 88 points yesterday. They're 8-1 so far. The only loss came in overtime to a really good Sentinel team. We're all kind of like, well, how good is this team? We're each game, we're kind of learning more and more about them.
You know, that's what killed all the competition for those Elk City girls at one state back in the 90s because they would have 2 girls all the way down the court as soon as the other team shot the ball.
Yeah.
And they'd get the rebound and they'd throw it all the way down the court. And Keitha or Sadia, and I mean, they'd be
– yeah.
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 They'd score – they'd get 2 buckets in 5 seconds.
Well, I noticed about this team is it's like they know exactly where everybody's going to be on the court. They know their role. They know – so they can almost
–
they're looking where they know they should throw it. And they know, okay, I know my guy's going to be right here or over here.
That's one of the beautiful things about small school basketball is that those guys have been playing basketball together their entire life.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know, that's one of the things, like people say, well, how come America's not good at soccer? How come we don't dominate soccer like we dominate the other sports? Well, because in Europe, when you're 12 years old, when you're David Beckham and you're 12 years old, you leave home. And you go
to AC Milan's camp,
yeah,
or to wherever, to their camp, and you start playing with those guys when you're 12 years old, and you start learning give and goes, and you start, and you live there. You live there. And that's the thing. Small school basketball, you know, I hope it's the same today as it used to be. But I had friends in Hammond and places like that. And I'd see them on the weekends and I'd be like, what'd y'all do this week? Oh, we just went to the gym.
Yeah. Well, I could tell you
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday after basketball practice, they went to the gym.
Yeah. I can tell you with my kids, my 10-year-old and her, teammates that are, you know, fourth graders, 10-year-olds, 11-year-old, whatever. We're doing that now. I mean, they're playing together now, and that's the hope, is that they are playing together in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so they kind of, so there's a lot of familiarity there. Speaking of Hammond, they're over there at the South Canadian Classic, the inaugural South Canadian Classic over in Leedy. This tournament is stacked full of really, really good teams. I'm going to mention all, you know, we've talked about this all week, but you're going to hear these names and go, oh, yeah, uh-huh, yep, they win a lot. They play in the Big House every March. You got Hammond's going to be, is there. Cheyenne Raiden is there. Leedy, of course, is there. Arapahoe Butler. Red Oak is there. Really, Okarchee, stacked tournament. Some results yesterday in the girls' bracket. Hammond girls, no problem with Visai, 80-16. And a tight one, Leedy, Lake Carpenter, the voice of the Leedy Bison, Lady Bison. He was worried about this girls' game. Between Leedy and Cheyenne, because Cheyenne is a young team. I mentioned youth and a bunch of freshmen. Cheyenne, Raiden, Lady Bears, they have that. But, they're good. I mean, they're going to be a team you're going to look out for next three, four seasons. But Leedy got them 49-44. That one, I think, came down the wire, I was being told. I was on my broadcast. I was getting text relayed to me. Okarchee defeated Balco 49-32. And Red Oak girls defeated Arapahoe Butler 55-40. Boys bracket, Okarchee defeated Arapahoe Butler 66-61. It was Hammond boys beating Cheyenne 53-41. Red Oak boys beating Balco 55-40. And Leedy took down Visai 61-57. So today's games, we got one already about to start, Visai and Cheyenne Raiden at 10 a.m. in the girls' bracket. Stay in the girls' bracket, Balco and Arapahoe Butler, that's in the Constellation side. But I think the game of the day everyone's going to be watching is at 3 o'clock, girls' bracket, Hammond and Leedy. Second time this year, the two rivals will square off. Hammond got the better of them the first time in a single-digit win, or game that both teams scored in the 30s. There's a lot of defense there. But so imagine a lot of people are going to be taking off work early to go over there and check out Hammond and Leedy again at 3 o'clock. And you could catch that game on Paragon TV as well as the Cheyenne game. And the other semifinal, Okarchee girls and Red Oak girls. So there's a lot of history here, Scott. I don't know if you know it. One, Coach Leah Beer, who's the coach of Leedy, was at Hammond last year and got him their state title. And she moved on, went over to Leedy. And
no, not going to be any bad blood about that at all.
I don't think so. I don't think there is. I think it was a mutual thing. I don't want to speak for Coach Beer or the Hammond administration, but I'm not. It's fun to build up and go, oh wow, you know they want. You know, in my mind, I want to. Okay, Leedy and Hammond. It's turned into this rivalry the last 15, 20 years, and so it'd be like I don't know, trying to put it in context. It'd be like, maybe not this big, but like Coach Venables taking a coaching job at Texas or something, or at OSU or something.
Yeah.
You know, and we go, whoa, he went down the road, you know. But from talking with the Leedy folks and the Hammond folks, they're like, we're both happy.
Yeah.
She's all happy over there. We're happy over I don't all know if there is a rub or a – I want to get you. Obviously, you want to win every game. And even before the coaching change, this was still a rivalry in any sense. So I'm not sensing that.
What a great opportunity for a reality TV show to come to Western Oklahoma
and follow, like,
and follow
small school
basketball.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, I remember I went to Hammond and when I was still cutting hair. 20 years ago, I went up to Hammond and shaved Megley's head after they won the state championship.
Really?
Yeah, in the gym in front of the whole student body. They brought the whole student body out, and I shaved his head. Yeah. And I, you know, Megley's kind of a pretty boy. He had the mullet flowing and all of that, but
But
that's good.
Yeah, it was a good deal. It was cool.
That is good.
And yeah, the culture, it's a completely different culture than anywhere else in the world.
100%.
And the competitiveness. Wow.
Yeah, it's wild competitive. What's great about I'm reading text conversations. Maybe shouldn't bring some of them to air. What's great about the small school? Where was I going with that? I completely lost my train of thought. But no, I'm with it. It's the town pride, the school pride.
Yeah.
You know,
because
you know everybody.
Absolutely,
you know everybody, right?
And you see everybody.
You see everybody, and those kids. There's a lot of pressure there, and maybe a lot of pressure they don't deserve at times.
Like, yeah,
you know, it's just a game.
Yeah.
But it's fun when they're winning. You know, it's fun when your teams are winning, and it. We talked about, you know, there's the 5 county conference tournament that went away. Last year was the last year for it, and there's this tournament, the South Canadian Classic. Kudos to Leedy. There's a lot of familiar teams that were in the 5 county tournament and are in this one. But that 5 county tournament, though, you go any Saturday. I mean, any game on Saturday, whether it be for consolation, championship, third place, whatever, wherever the gym was, it was packed.
Yeah.
It was absolutely packed. And Aaron made a good point. I think it was yesterday or day before, talking about the 5 county. It was more than just a tournament and games and playing for pride. It was sometimes like, this is the only time people, that group of people, the sense of community of Western Oklahoma, would get together and go into a small gym and standing room only.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I've been to state championship games at the Big House that somebody from Western Oklahoma ended up playing somebody on the eastern side of the state, and everybody stayed.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't just people from that school. Everybody stayed to cheer on the Western Oklahoma.
Sure. Team. Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, it was packed. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. And did you know this year is the last year for the Big House?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
And that's going to be a little sentimental, you know.
Very much so.
I know for me personally, I'm, you know, called a lot of games in there, and that last game on that Saturday, that's going to be a little like, well, this is it. Walking out of this building for the last time. And I've been walking in this building since I was a tiny kid. I remember my dad and my mom bringing me, you know, it was a weekend you reserved.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't matter if your team was in it or not. You went, especially on that Saturday, you watched those 4 games. And I remember my parents say, hey, we're going to state tournament. I'm like, okay. And it's just what you did.
Yeah.
And in that building, too. And it's like that building has, it's still kind of stuck in time.
Yeah.
You know, like the smell of that building when you walk in, walking up the ramp to go to your seat, whatever. It's just like that when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
You know, they did some stuff different, but it did overall, that's the sound of that buzzer. Like I said, the smell of the food, the fair food over there and all that. But it's going to be a little weird at the end of this season.
Kind of like walking into the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, very much so.
You walk into the Cotton Bowl, it is, yeah.
So I mentioned, and I know we have more. I know Eric is down in the Granite tournament. I was efforting to try to get who they played, but I'm not getting any responses. And wait. Here we go. Okay. I mentioned Hammond. I mentioned Cheyenne and Arapahoe. And there we go. Eric girls will take on Leukiva Sickles at 4:20. And the Eric boys are playing Navajo today at 8:20. And I mentioned the Cheyenne Leedy game. Might crash our servers when people are going to watch on Paragon TV.
Yeah.
But you can't – all those – so Cheyenne, Hammond, Leedy, Arapahoe, Butler, Canute, Elk City, Eric, I don't want to miss anybody. Every single one of our teams on the Paragon Network is in a tournament, and they're in action today, and you can watch them. You can watch them on Paragon TV and, of course, Big Elk TV. Let me bring up. Okay, I mentioned Arapahoe, Canute, Cheyenne, Elk City, Eric, Hammond, Hollis. Hollis is in a tournament somewhere down south, clearly. But they're playing Leedy and Merritt. Merritt boys are up at the Holiday Classic in Moreland. I've almost left them out. Merritt girls are not, because you can only play three tournaments a year. They are playing in the Bertha Frank Teague Invitational for it's a girls only invitational down in Ada. Very strategic. I can't talk. It's very
prestigious.
Prestigious. Thank you. Tournament. I can't talk. It's when you get invited to that tournament, that means they expect you to go really far that particular season. And I saw Merritt firsthand the other night. They are good. So those girls are down there. So that's why they're not up in the Moreland tournament, but their boys are. They will take. Oh, why did I even mention this? It's Merritt and Canute today. The boys.
Oh, wow.
That one at tonight at 7:55. And the Canute girls will be taking on the Moreland girls. So a couple tough games. You got the host school, Moreland, taking on the Canute girls, and then a rematch with Merritt. Canute got them earlier this season, but Merritt's Merritt. I mean, they're going to be well coached by, and Donnie Husband's a really good coach. So I expect a really good one right there. Couple of night games.
They play pretty fast too, don't they?
They do. They like to shoot.
Yeah.
And they got a deep bench, and they rotate. They keep fresh legs out there. Should be fun. Should be fun. And final thought on that is, I said this yesterday during the broadcast, that run and gun style. You know, you have to be in shape, right? And if the Canute boys can run through this tournament with that style of offense, that has got to be encouraging.
Yeah.
When you start getting into those playoff games,
because
if you can run that style of offense and still have legs, say for on day three of whatever, and still be effective, that's got to be encouraging. We are way overdue for a break. We're going to get that in now. We'll come back and wrap the show up. It's the Skinny on Sports on 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, KADS, the Esports Channel.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber, or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings, or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
All right. Welcome back. Wrapping up the show here on a Friday. Didn't mention we'll get this on the podcast a little bit later today. We'll get yesterday's show on the podcast. I didn't have time because right as soon as we were done, I had to get on the road, but I got some time today. But we'll get that all out there for you so you can go back and listen. Jared Atha with you in studio, joined by Scott Garrison. And we'll wrap up the show. Scott, what's going on downtown for you?
Hey, we're just working with people trying to make a plan, trying to make sense out of everything that's going on. Just understanding where people are coming from with their risk aversion. Everybody's different, and everybody's plan needs to be different. So come down and see us. We'll make a plan for you. We'll take a look at some of the best ways for you to make your money work as efficiently as possible.
It's that time of year too, where Christmas time and people are really watching.
You're
going to
make New Year's resolutions anyway. Why not have one of them be about finance?
That's a great one.
Yeah.
That's a great one. Everyone wants to lose weight. Why not just make money?
There you go. And we'll cut out buying sweets, so you're going to save money
perfect.
Too.
Perfect.
There you go. There you go.
Scott, thanks for sitting in an entire hour.
Yeah, you
appreciate
bet.
It. Appreciate
you
it. Helps me out a lot. That's going to wrap it up for this version of the show. Don't forget, Aaron is down at Childress, Texas. Big Elks and Elkettes down there in the tournament. In fact, the first game's coming up here in less than 30 minutes at 10:30. So tune on in and root on the Big Elks. And again, Go to Paragon TV. You're going to find every single one of the schools in action today at some time. I mean, too much to mention, but a lot of basketball still happening. And good luck to all those teams out there. Fly the Western Oklahoma flag proud and bring home some hardware. Maybe we'll talk about it on Monday. Everybody have a wonderful and safe weekend. You've been listening to The Skinny on Sports on The Sports Animal.
You've been listening to The Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.